A few months ago, Volkswagen released an ad in the UK for the VW Polo. This spot fits the VW formula. Gauzy images of cute young families, Helvetica-esque subtitles, and of course, pitch-perfect music. DDB, the ad firm behind the VW spot, had asked to use a song by the indie band Beach House. The band said no, but the song that ran in the ad sounded very, very similar to the Beach House song Take Care. How similar? Here's Beach House. Stay beside me, can hide the way you make it. The practice of ad companies creating Xeroxes of pop songs is a time-honored tradition, so time-honored, in fact, that Bob looked into it during the primordial days of our show back in 2001. The victim back then, Sheryl Crow.
I'm not really much into pop music.
That's hard to believe.
I know, but I've been doing some research, and now I'm like totally hep to the cruche of what platters the young kids are grooving on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, some voices are so distinctive that even I recognize them. Your Jimmy Durantes, your Bee Gees, your Joe Cockers, your Yannis, and of course, currently, your Sheryl and the Crows.
And your Sheryl Crow.
Whatever. Just listen. America's waiting for you to call. If you're thinking, what's Sheryl Crow doing singing ad jingles? The answer is, that isn't her. It's simply someone who sounds an awful lot like Sheryl Crow, with a melody much like Sheryl Crow's and instrumentation much like Sheryl Crow's. In other words, a sound alike. You don't hear many of them these days because back in 1992, when Lincoln Mercury used a sound alike of Midler singing Do You Wanna Dance, the divine Miss M sued the pants off the ad agency. Since then, blatant vocal knockoffs have wound up costing ad agencies and clients big court awards and legal settlements, but that doesn't mean there are no sound-alikes in commercials. Because if you think about it, most advertising music isn't vocal, it's instrumental.
Seems like they were thinking about it from the beginning.
In the 1930s, they built their first safety test vehicle.
They patented safety door locks in 1949.
They conducted their first rollover test in 1959.
That was a TV commercial for Mercedes. Now listen to this track. It's a song called Porcelain by a performer called Moby.
I can sit there and watch any of the major networks every night, and, you know, I can hear it. I can hear where they came from, and I can bet you I could go back and find an early cut of that commercial that had that track on it.
Chris McHale is a composer, musician, and president of the McHale Barone Audio Agency.
These days, the editors like to work with music when they're editing the picture to kind of give them a rhythmic impulse for the editing. And, you know, the editing process might take 2 or 3 weeks, so the editor might put a piece of music on a commercial as a scratch track to edit to, actually cut the picture to.
And what happens is a phenomenon called demo love.
Josh Rabinowitz is a music producer at Young & Rubicam Advertising in New York.
The people, the creatives and the producers and sometimes the clients that are sitting in on these editing sessions, they fall in love with it because it's something they've grown accustomed to listening to.
Which would be fine, except in all likelihood, the agency and its clients have no rights to use whatever music they were editing to. This leaves three options. One is to try to obtain the song from the original artists. This is always expensive and sometimes futile because artists don't necessarily want to sell. The second is to compose or obtain wholly different music, but the pictures are already edited to the demo. The third option is to go to a music production house and commission a piece which is similar enough to the original to satisfy demo love, but different enough that the lawsuits don't start flying. In the euphemism of his trade, Rabinowitz calls these similarities references or citations.
There's some groups that people often cite, especially recently, Moby being one. Moby's actually sold a lot of his tracks to corporations for ads. Another person is Danny Elfman. Seems to get a lot of play.
Well, let's see. One more time, here's Moby. And here's referenced Moby, this time in an ad for DLJ Online Brokerage. Pretty brazen, and pretty simple, too. They basically just changed the key. But while that may be easy work for advertising music composers, that doesn't mean they like it.
It's sort of like they're hiring our hands and not our head.
Steve Curran, who runs Harvest Music in Lansing, Michigan, dies a little inside every time a client walks in to file the serial number off of somebody else's song. Luckily, Curran says, it only happens every single week.
We get a call from the producer or creative director on the project, and they say, we never intended to use it, but we really like this piece of music. What do you think? What do you think about what? What do you think about getting close to that? Can we get close to that? No, we can't get close to that. Well, why not? Well, because we'll get sued. Okay, but can we get kind of close to it anyway?
So pervasive is this practice, and so great is the legal risk, that advertising agencies are reduced to consulting people like Matt Harris, a professional musicologist, to certify that ad citations aren't actually larceny.
It's not always a matter of the notes. I mean, whatever is significant.
The standard trick of the trade is to change keys or alter the melody without disrupting the rhythmic structure. But Harris says that doesn't always work either.
I mean, like in rap music, there is no melody, there's no harmony usually. So then you look at the drums, you see what the drums are doing. Even I listen to if somebody has a very special kind of reverb or echo. I mean, all these little telltale signs that somebody is really after something, trying to get something that they can't have.
How much leeway an advertiser has depends somewhat on how shrewd he is or surreptitious. If, for instance, the agency tries to get rights to the song that everybody fell in love with and gets turned down, as Doritos once did with a Tom Waits song, the subsequently commissioned music had better sound very, very different. But the sound-alike radio commercial broke. Waits said that's nacho property, sued, and Doritos got crunched $2.4 million worth. As irony would have it, the song in question was Step Right Up, a wicked satire of the commercial culture. One of the more memorable lyrics, don't be fooled by cheap imitations. Because it forges your signature, not completely satisfied, mail back on you, portion of product for complete refund of price of punches. That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Jamie York, Alex Goldman, DJ Vogt, Sarah Durkman, and Chris Neary, with more help from Amy DePiro and Eliza Novick-Smith, and edited by Brooke. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineer this week was Andrew Dunn.
Katya Rogers is our senior producer. Ellen Horn is WNYC's senior director of national programs. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. On the Media is produced by WNYC and distributed by NPR. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield.